We'll turn in God's Word, please, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. We're going to look at the last portion of this chapter. We've been going through, making our way through the book of Mark. So we're looking at the latter part of chapter 11 this morning. Mark chapter 11. And we're going to read from the verse 27. Mark 11, verse 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. They reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say, Why then did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. And they answered and said unto Jesus, We cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Amen. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. We'll seek the Lord's face together in a brief word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we do pray that we'll know thy help as we come and consider thy truth together this morning. We ask of thee that thou wilt take thine own holy word and apply it very definitely to every heart. We pray, should there be any among us still strangers to thy grace, we pray today that they will recognize the authority of our God, that they will bow before him, call upon him for mercy. Come and grant us thy help. We pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. Early in the Lord's ministry, it was acknowledged that the Lord spoke with great and unusual authority. In Mark 1, verse 22, it speaks of how there were those that were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And these people that were used to sitting under the teaching of the scribes, they recognized that here was a man that had authority, an authority that they had never witnessed before in the many meetings that they had attended. The Lord's ministry then was one that was performed in great authority. He himself spoke of how he had the authority to forgive sin. He demonstrated that he had the authority over demons. He demonstrated that he had authority over the elements of nature. This issue of the Lord's authority was one that greatly infuriated the scribes and the Pharisees and the other religious leaders. And we can understand that. For as the people were saying, he speaks with authority, not like the scribes, you could understand how immediately they would become so jealous of the Lord and infuriated with what was taking place. The chief issue in this portion that we're looking at this morning relates to this matter of authority. These religious leaders, they could see and hear the Lord's authority, and they detested it. And so this delegation came to meet with the Lord when the Lord was in the temple. And in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke's parallel account of this incident, Luke tells us that the Lord was teaching and the Lord was preaching the Gospel at this particular time in the temple. And I'm sure as this group of men came towards the Lord, they're described at the end of verse 27 as the chief priests, the scribes and elders, they must have looked outwardly pretty important. I'm sure they came wearing all their robes and so on. No matter what they looked like, nothing changed the reality. They were the representatives of apostate religion. They were not those that knew the truth. Their religion was one of works. I never think that the Pharisees had the religion of the Old Testament. They did not. Their teaching was not the true teaching of the Old Testament. And their teaching was one of works. It was salvation through effort, salvation in obeying the rules of the rabbis and so on. So they had no understanding of the message of grace that was preached in the Old Testament. They had no understanding of the necessity of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, which was taught in the Old Testament. And so these men came with two questions. In verse 28, they say unto him, "By what authority doest thou these things?" And then secondly, "Who gave thee this authority to do these things?" What are the things that these men were talking about? Probably they were talking about the preaching and the Lord's teaching. What authority do you have to preach and teach like this? We never licensed you to preach. Or they may have been referring to the cleansing in the temple the day before. What right have you to come in and to cast individuals out of the temple and to turn over tables and so on? Or some suggest they may have been referring to the Lord's triumphant entry a few days before, where the people had cried out, "Hosanna." And while they may have had that in view, of course, really they should have been asking the people why they had cried, "Hosanna." But the Lord was asking these questions in order to expose these men. And the men had asked these, or the Lord asked his question to expose them, but the men asked their two questions, not out of interest, not out of a sincere heart to learn, but they were asking, hoping that they could gather evidence against the Lord. And so they hoped the Lord would give a particular answer, and they would take that answer then and use it against the Lord. And so when they asked the question, "Who gave you this authority?" they wanted the Lord to reply, "God gave it." And it wasn't that they believed that. They didn't believe it. But they wanted the Lord to state that clearly so that they might have this evidence and they would charge the Lord with blasphemy, which of course it wouldn't have been. But their plan fell flat on its face. And their plan to defeat Christ actually resulted in the Lord exposing these scribes again. And it always amazes me how foolish these scribes and these leading men were. For all their learning, they didn't have one ounce of wit, because the Lord had exposed them time after time through their folly of asking questions. And instead of keeping quiet, they came and asked more. And the Lord exposed them even more than he had before. What was the Lord exposing to them? The Lord was exposing that they had no authority, but that he did have authority. So they came asking the question, "What authority do you have?" And the Lord revealed, as we'll see through the course of the message, he did have great authority. They had none. And there are great lessons here for the child of God. I want to remind you, dear child of God, you have a God-given authority. Remember what Paul said to Titus, "These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority." When you go out then and share the word of God, share it with authority, because you have the authority to do it. I know so often when Christians speak out, we are told, "What right do you have to say that?" And they'll say, "Well, if you want to speak to your own people about that, you can do so. But don't speak to me about that. You have no right to do it." What they have failed to recognize is, we have a God-given authority. God has given us his holy, infallible word. And it doesn't matter whether a man is a Hindu or a Muslim or a Roman Catholic, God's word is true. God's word will be fulfilled. He will give an answer to our God. And therefore we have a God-given authority to speak, no matter what an individual's notion may be. Let us recognize we are God's witnesses. But today I want us to apply these words especially to the unconverted. And thinking of this issue, Christ's authority being confirmed, I want to see first of all that Christ's authority to detect the deceiver was confirmed. His authority to detect the deceiver. You see, these men came parading their religion. They came under this pretense, we are men of great godliness. And we read that, of course, so often through the New Testament, where they would stand in the street and they would stop and look around to see how many people were watching. If there were plenty of people watching, then they would say a long prayer because they loved the praise of men. And so they came parading their religion. But nothing was further from the truth. These were not godly men. They were hypocrites. And they were liars. And the Lord exposed that they were liars. And by doing that, then he showed that he had the authority to expose that they were liars. If you look at verse 30, and the Lord asked the question, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Now, if these were men of honor, surely they would have given an honest answer straight away. They would have said, we believe this. If you look at what it says in the next verse, they reasoned with themselves. And they weren't reasoning what is the correct answer to the question. They were reasoning, what answer should we give? Now, I remind you, these men were saying, we're the great religious leaders, men of great integrity. The truth was, they were liars. And the Lord exposed it. Because in verse 33, they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. We cannot tell. And yet they had reasoned about the answer that could have been given. And they knew the truth, of course. They didn't want to acknowledge the truth, but they knew the right answer. But they said, we can't tell. They lied. A blatant lie. And so we have Christ exposing the fact that they were liars. And therefore I say to you, the plan of these religious men, it fell flat on its face. And the fact it rebounded on them. Because not only could the Lord see that they were liars, everyone standing around knew that they lied as well. Surely everyone that was there knew what these men were thinking, what they wanted to say, but they said, we can't tell. They were exposed. And I put it to you then that this incident is so important because it brings to our attention Christ's authority to detect a deceiver. And this authority is not one that was lost in Mark chapter 11. It's an authority that Jesus Christ still has today. He is the authority to detect the deceiver. And that ought to be something that greatly disturbs everyone that's unsaved in this meeting. Perhaps there's someone in the meeting and you're a false professor. You make the pretense at being one of the Lord's. If you die as you live, be very sure your lies will be exposed. Because the Lord has the authority to detect and expose the deceiver. Or we think of the one that is unconverted. You make many excuses for why you are converted. Perhaps the real reason is found in verse 32. If we shall say of men, they feared the people. They feared the people. And perhaps the reason why you have refused continuously to come to Christ. You have hardened your heart, or you have said, I'll not come now. You fear the people. You fear the crowd. You fear to stand up and take that reproach for being a child of God. And how foolish that is. You would be content to take that part of saying, I cannot tell. You're content to say, I cannot tell if I really need to be saved or not. The truth is, you've lied. You know you're unconverted. You know you need the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, it says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. And what will happen then when the Lord comes? What will happen in the day of judgment? The Lord will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And there are then the hidden things of darkness. There are things that are exposed for my attention and yours. There are secrets in men's hearts. And the Lord says in that day of judgment, all of it will be exposed. All of the reasonings these men reasoned among themselves, the Lord knew it all. And many will say, as the psalmist identified in Psalm 94, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the Lord, the God of Jacob, regard it. But the psalmist pleads with the sinner, when will you be wise? When will you stop saying such foolish words, the Lord will not see? And the psalmist then said, he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? And the one who made all, he can see all. The one who made all, he can hear all. There's nothing concealed, including the lies of the liar. In Revelation chapter 21, we read a list of those that will be taken and cast into the lake of fire, the fearful and the unbelieving. We read there of murderers, and in that list we read of all liars. They shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is in the second death. The fearful and the unbelieving. Dear sinner, oh, today that you would see this. Christ has that authority to expose you as one that is not his. He knows them that are his. How then can you conceal from him the fact that you're not? In relation to this, we can see that Christ also exposed the fact that they were children of Satan. Why were they liars? Because they were the children of the one who is the father of lies. Remember how the Lord talked about that in John 8. You're off your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And when the Lord exposed these men as liars, he was exposing, you're off your father the devil. He is the father of all lies. You're one of his. And therefore this Christ rejection on the part of the sinner today is an evidence that that man is not a child of God. He's a child of the devil. For one who will walk in the ways of falsehood, it's not evidence of being in the truth. It's evidence of being a child of the devil. The sinner must repent of that. And again, in relation to this, Christ was exposing the fact that they were willingly ignorant of the truth. These men wanted to accuse Christ of blasphemy. They wanted the Lord to say, God has given me the authority, because they knew that that was the truth. And as I've said, they would never want to confess it. And even among each other, they would never have admitted to it. But deep down, they knew that they were the blasphemers. Because in Luke's account of this particular incident, in Luke 20, verse 6, they said, if we say of men, all the people will stone us. Why were they saying that people will stone us? Stoning was the punishment for blasphemy. And while they wanted to charge the Lord with blasphemy, deep down they knew they were the blasphemers, because they denied that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. How true of these men. They loved darkness rather than light. The Lord then has the authority to detect the deceiver. I want to see then, secondly, the Lord has the authority to condemn the sinner. If you look with me in Mark 11 again, at the end of verse 29, the Lord says, "Answer me. Answer this question about John the Baptist. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. I will tell you. If you answer, I will speak to you." Look then at verse 33, the last part of the verse. "Neither do I tell you, I will not speak to you." And so the Lord had said, if you're honest, if you give the answer, I will tell you. And when they wouldn't answer, the Lord said, "Then I have nothing to say. I won't tell you." I believe these are most tragic words, very solemn words. The Lord was saying to these scribes, "I have nothing more to say to you on this particular issue." Christ had no words for them. Men and women, this is a great evidence of condemnation. This is a great evidence of judgment. When the Lord has nothing more to say to an individual, when the Lord leaves an individual to go on his falsehood, that is an evidence of judgment, of condemnation. The Lord had ministered so often, so clearly to these men. He had warned them concerning their hypocrisy, their superficiality. He had warned them about wrath to come, and now the Lord said, "Nothing more on this occasion to say to you." He was going to let them go on in their own way, and therefore they would be lost forever in God's hell. What a tragedy. The same thing happened to King Herod. And significant, as we read here of John the Baptist, King Herod was disturbed under the ministry of John the Baptist, but he refused to obey the preaching. And in Luke 23, 3 verse 9, Herod questioned with Jesus in many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. The Lord had nothing to say to Herod. Herod had his day of opportunity, and it was a prolonged opportunity. And he was a man that was disturbed, a man that was convicted, a man that was moved. But he refused. The Lord had no more word for him. The Lord answered him nothing. The same was true Cain. Remember how Cain brought the wrong offering? And the Lord warned Cain. The Lord reasoned with him. The Lord exhorted him to repent and bring the right offering. The Lord said, "Why art thou wroth? Why are you angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And so if you come with the lamb, if you bring the blood, if you come with that penitent heart, you will be accepted as well." Cain would not. We have there in Genesis 4 some of the most tragic words in all Holy Scripture. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. The Lord had spoken. Cain refused. Cain heard God's voice no more. And oh dear unconverted, when I plead with you today, that as the Lord ministers to your heart, do not harden that heart. for the Lord could pass by you. The Lord could say to you, I have nothing more to say to you. Pass on your way. Like Judas Iscariot, go to your own place. The Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Lord is the authority to stop speaking. So we see the Lord's authority to detect the deceiver. The Lord is the authority to condemn the sinner. And I want to see then, thirdly, the Lord has the authority to speak the truth. Because remember I mentioned in Luke's gospel, Luke said the Lord had been teaching the people in the temple and preaching. And then these scribes came along and they were saying, who gave you the authority to do these things? Who gave you the authority to preach and to teach? Do you think then of what happened? The Lord asked these men the most elementary question. And in a religious matter of that time, do you think of the religious interests in that day? Surely this must have been one of the most prevalent questions among the Jews in that time. Was John the Baptist a true prophet? Was John the Baptist a man sent of God? And in effect, that's what the Lord was asking. John the Baptist's baptism, was it of men or was it from heaven? And it's a very basic question, a most simple question. And so for someone to claim to be an expert in the things of religion, this should have been a very simple question to answer. What did these men of learning answer? They said, we cannot tell. I put it to you, if they couldn't answer an elementary question like that, what authority then did they have to speak on any religious matter? If they couldn't answer that John the Baptist was of heaven or was of men, how could they speak with authority on any matter of Holy Scripture, especially any weighty matter? These men then had no authority to speak the truth. But Christ was not like that. You think of all the way through the Lord's ministry, the Lord was asked hard questions. The Lord could answer every one of them. And he answered with great authority. The Lord was never trapped. The Lord was never cornered. And he had such authority because he was one who came from heaven. How does that relate to us today then? It reminds us that every word Christ said is true. And Christ has that authority then to speak the truth. And I want you to think then of these words in verse 31. They reasoned with themselves, these false men, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did ye not believe him? Exactly so. If John the Baptist was sent from God, and he was, as it says at the end of verse 32, he was a prophet indeed. He was a prophet of God. If John was once sent of God, how much more Jesus Christ? Because John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And so John was saying, don't believe in me. Believe in the one that I am come to testify of. And therefore, believe every word that Christ says. Christ himself said, this is the work of God, that ye believe in him whom he hath sent. Why then will you not believe what Christ has said? Why then will you not trust in the truth of Christ? He has the authority to expose, the authority to judge and to sentence, the authority to declare truth, and he also has the authority to save. We read earlier in Ephesians chapter 2, he is far above all principality and power. And the the word power there is this word authority. He is far above all principality and authority, and he has, in accordance with Mark chapter 2, the authority to forgive sin. I have no authority today to forgive you. I have no authority to remove the record of your sin, and no other man has. But Jesus Christ has. He shed his blood to that end for the forgiveness of the sinner, and he said, as many as received him, to them give he power, or them he give the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And today, if you will come and say, I'm an unworthy, hell-deserving sinner. I deserve everlasting fire. I recognize God sees all of my sin and my shortcoming. I deserve hell for it, but I cry to thee for mercy. You will cry to God for mercy. If you will receive Christ, he'll give you that authority to become a child of God. Oh, may you come today and believe on his name. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen.